Now I'm going to read from Matthew 2. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judah during the time when Herod was king. After Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked people, "Where is the child who was born to be king of the Jews? We saw the star that showed he was born. We saw it rise in the sky in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, it upset him as well as everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod called a meeting of all the leading Jewish priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah would be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea, just as the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are important among the rulers of Judea. Yes, a ruler will come from you, and that ruler will lead Israel, my people.'" Then Herod had a private meeting with the wise men from the east. He learned from them the exact time they first saw the star. Then he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, "Go and look carefully for the child. When you find him, come tell me, then I can go and worship him too." After the wise men heard the king, they left. They saw the same star they had seen in the east, and they followed it. The star went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. They were very happy and excited to see the star. The wise men came to the house where the child was with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the boxes of gifts they had brought for him. They gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they went home to their own country a different way. After the wise men left, an angel from the Lord came to Joseph in a dream. The angel said, "Get up, take the child with his mother and escape to Egypt. Herod wants to kill the child and will soon start looking for him. Stay in Egypt until I tell you to come back." So Joseph got ready and left for Egypt with the child and the mother. They left during the night. Joseph stayed in Egypt until Herod died. This gave full meaning to what the Lord said through the prophet, "I called my son to come out of Egypt." Bless this reading.
Well, those two scripture readings we read this morning are the two accounts of the Christmas story. Interestingly, when you try to join them together, they appear as if they are very contrary to each other. But you'll see that, in fact, they are perfectly complementary. In fact, the wise men never showed up at the manger, but they came approximately 2 years later. So praise the Lord. Well, we have discovered over the last few weeks as we've been talking here in the church about the Christmas story that in fact it's most unlikely that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. It's irrelevant what day he was born. It's Christmas Day every day when you have Jesus in your heart. You're celebrating every day. Well, Christmas Day. What an amazing testimony that was. In fact, Sam, as you were talking about that tunnel at the end, I was thinking of Psalm 23. "Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil." Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, just a quick summary of the Christmas message. Jesus was born some 2,000 years ago. He lived for a very short time, 33 years approximately, and then died. The gifts that were brought to him that day, the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh, were in themselves most interesting gifts. Gold was to signify his kingship. Lord of all, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The frankincense was, as it were, an offering of praise to the Lord, for that's what the priests used in their sacrificial offerings in the Old Testament. And it was a sweet-smelling perfume. It was an aroma that was sweet and sweet-smelling. And that was an offering or a praise that the wise men gave to Jesus as a baby. And finally, myrrh. Myrrh, a bitter-tasting resin that is used primarily in those days to embalm bodies. What a strange present to give to a baby. But you see, Jesus didn't come to live. He came to die. And die for each and every one of us, that we might have life and life eternal. And so myrrh was in fact symbolized in that it would be the bitter cup that Jesus would have to participate in when he went to the cross and died for our sins. But of course, the Christmas message didn't start 2,000 years ago. It started 6,000 years ago, when Adam and Eve were first thrown out of the Garden of Eden. And then 6,000 years on, we have the benefit of being able to look back and see from God's Word how he began to spell out his great plan of redemption from the moment that he removed Adam and Eve because of their disobedience. They listened to doubt, they allowed doubt to come in, they then rebelled against God, and God had to remove them from his presence because a holy and righteous God can never be or have anything in his presence that is not righteous. And so began the plan of redemption. And right there in the book of Genesis, as we've found out over our messages in the last few weeks, God began to write a message in the names or the meanings of the names for the first 10 generations, from Adam to Seth to Enos, and it goes through right through to Noah, the first 10. 10 is God's number of completeness. God makes no mistakes in his word. This word, this Bible, many people criticize it in our world today, but when you dive into this Bible, it is quite obviously something that has come from outside of our dimension, for it is quite supernatural. The message that God gave mankind, us here today, in the book of Genesis, in the first 10 generations, the meanings behind the name spell out a message, and I'm going to read that message to you. When you go to your Bibles, pick it up, have a look at Genesis, find out the first 10 generations. You see all those, you know how you get to those, you read them all, Matthew starts with, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you go, oh, I'll just turn over those, you know. But they all have incredible significance. Here's the message that God gives to us in the book of Genesis regarding Christmas Day and what he would do for mankind. Adam means mankind. And away we go. Adam, or man, is appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed name of God shall come down and commence teaching that his death shall bring the despairing, that's you and I, comfort and rest. There it is, right there in the beginning of Genesis. An amazing, amazing supernatural event. God directs everything that we do in order that the completion be fulfilled. And so, with these promises, we then go on further. In fact, the entire Bible is all about Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament, everything in the New Testament, all points to one person, Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is not some sort of an idealistic idea that someone thought up. But Christianity is all about a man. A man. And that man is the way, the truth, and the life. And as I said with a young lady here, we have had our Christmas celebration here the last 5 nights, and praise the Lord, it was great. In fact, we had a fulfillment of prophecy too, because before it started, we asked the Lord not to send any rain until the 24th of December, and guess what? We really had no rain until the 24th of December. If we'd chosen to have our function last night, we couldn't have done it, because it was too wet. Praise the Lord. All the glory to Jesus. But you see, everything in this book is about Jesus Christ, even the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, perhaps rather than putting yourself into the Psalm next time you read it, put Jesus into the Psalm, and you will see an amazing story revealed in front of your very eyes. We go to Isaiah, some 600, 700 years before Jesus was born, and we read this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Jesus will be called the Mighty God. He'll also be called the Everlasting Father. Did you know that the scriptures say that Jesus was called the Everlasting Father? He will be known as the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. And in fact he did. And we've heard the scriptures this morning. 2,000 years ago, as we look back, God's Son arrived on earth. And he died on a cross that we might have life and life everlasting. And that whosoever should call upon that name of Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'll conclude with this morning. And if you would like to turn to John 3:16 in the New Testament. And if you don't, that's all right. I'll read it anyway. John 3:16. This, ladies and gentlemen, friends, this morning is the summary of the Christmas story all in one passage. And I'll read it. For God so loved the world. Let me rephrase it. For God so loved each and every one of us individually that he gave his only begotten Son. Christmas is all about giving. The Christian story is all about giving. The Christian story is all about others, not self. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, are you a whosoever? If you don't think you are, then you're in tribe, I tell you. You are a whosoever. That whosoever believes in him, who was God's Son? Jesus Christ. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, the scripture says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this Christmas day, I pray that you all consider. In fact, as it says in Isaiah, God says in the book of Isaiah, he says, come let us reason together, thus saith the Lord. Let's consider where we're at, where we're going, and how to get there. For if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Perhaps you don't know. Perhaps you don't care. Perhaps you're just not sure. But certainly, the scriptures gives us hope, and a hope of an eternal salvation in him. So call upon the name of the Lord from your heart, not your head, and he will save you. And he will save you. And I thank you, Lord, that you did send your Son, and that today we can remember and celebrate that wonderful event that took place in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Glory to God.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.